This is Corolla Digital.
Hi, this is Adam Carolla. I want to thank you for supporting this podcast on the Corolla Digital Network. Everyone here at Corolla Digital is very proud of the shows that we put out every week and are excited about the future of our network. However, a patent troll is threatening that future by suing us. We need to fight back and beat the troll down. If we go down, all the other shows on the other networks you've grown to love are going to go down next. Visit fundanything.com/patent troll to donate and find out other ways that you can help beat the patent trolls. Thank you and mahalo. Oh, we got a new sponsor. Love these guys. Cheapo Air. That's right. It's right in the title. Right now, throughout the month of June, you can win 50 tickets to travel around the U.S. with their absolute getaway. That's right. One person will win 50 tickets. Where you go, that's up to you and me. Just be up to you. I'm busy. You figure it out for yourself. Want to see mom in Florida or that lucky lady in New York? Even better, if you don't win, you can still save big bucks during checkout when you use the promo code Adam. So, you want to travel? You want to do it inexpensively? You want to support our show? Cheapo Air. Click the banner at the top of our homepage or head to cheapoair.com today. Don't forget the promo code Adam. That's cheapoair.com. Promo code Adam.
You know that great idea you have? Not the yoga for dogs one. The other one. Yeah, the one everyone agrees is amazing. Well, it is. But now what? Look, every great idea needs a killer website. A great website is how you show, share, or sell your great ideas. Meet Weebly. Weebly.com makes it surprisingly easy to create your own high-quality site, blog, or online store. And you can even get started for free. Over 20 million people have already created their websites with Weebly. Our powerful drag-and-drop site builder makes it easy to design a unique site and bring your idea to life. And Weebly websites work brilliantly on computers, smartphones, and tablets. So whether your great idea is a business, a place to showcase your talent, or a social hub for family and friends, it's easy to start your something right now. We all know that making an idea come to life is hard, but making a website for it should be easy. Create your free website today at Weebly.com. That's Weebly, Weebly.com, Weebly.com.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest tonight, Richard Marx, with Allison Rosen on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a review of 22 Jump Street and Hooray for Baldywood. And now, wherever you go, whatever you do, he will be right here ranting for you, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thank you so much for tuning in, telling a friend, supporting the cause. Love all that about you guys. Bald Brian's got a little 22 jump to review in a little Bollywood. But first, good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Bald Brian.
Pow. Sandwich. Face. Boom.
The runaway winner for today's hashtag top drop.
I just got back from Napa, California, and was there with Jimmy Kimmel, and he's such a good guy.
It's your birthday trip, right?
This is the prearranged, birthday trip.
Yeah, me and Dickie from the Boss Tones and Daniel from neither a band or a podcast all turned 50 within, I think Dickie's turning 50 this week. Well, that's the kind of thing we'd probably find online, actually. Took the family.
Or you could have asked him in person when you saw him.
Well, I only spent
you don't like to pry?
2 days with him. No, I know he's going to Boston, and his birthday is, I think it's this, it's like Friday or Saturday, I don't, or something. It's coming.
You don't want to intrude.
It's coming, and he's going to Boston. But either way, great group of guys. And, you know, the thing about Jimmy, is not only is he pay for everything, the rental cars, the meals, and all the cottages and all that kind of stuff. But it's so, it's a week from today. Yesterday, right. So, Sunday. So, all right. He's going for his birthday to Boston. Jimmy's one of those guys who
pays for everything, but then he does everything too. Like, he's the guy who's getting the car from the rental place. Like, it, you know, normally you're either the guy who pays for it or the guy who does it. He's carrying,
hands-on and generous.
Yes, he's carrying all the luggage. Like,
get your bags before you miss a seat.
Yeah, that, a lot of that. Like, he's just that guy. That's, it's like how he is. It's always been the way he was. You know, before he had money, but now that he has it, he's still that dude. It's really interesting. Had a nice little moment when we were leaving the airport in Napa.
Did you fly into the Sonoma airport, the little private one, or did you go to SFO?
Went to the small, the Charles Schultz. Yeah. Made me angry. I'll tell you what made me angry. I was looking at the fucking, first off, I walked in, I was surrounded by Peanuts characters, and then I was like, this guy's never said a funny thing in his life. He's never done anything that's funny. It's not, nothing's ever funny out of the Schultz. And the guy makes, I said to Dickie, he made more last year, his estate made more last year than you and I will ever make combined in our entire careers. And he's been dead for 9 years. Nothing is ever funny. And then I got angry because they had his Peanut cartoons, you know, like framed and hanging in the lobby. And I walked up to one and I went, okay, let's see. This is the best of the best, people.
He's in the museum, essentially.
He's done thousands of cartoons and thousands of these strips. And they're skimming the cream off the top. And that's what they're going to put up here. And I walked right up to it. And it was Snoopy. And it was Red Baron. And then you got to the third caption, not funny, nothing. And I was getting angry. Like, I was saying, look, it's not funny. It's not funny. And people are like, oh, yeah, I love that guy. Love that guy. And I'm like, and then Dickie got angry because he said he doesn't draw a beagle properly.
Accuracy was his big sticking point.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They don't walk on two legs normally, first of all.
Yeah, very don't get him going on Garfield.
Don't fly.
He is so fucking livid at Garfield.
People barely touch lasagna.
Don't have it, yeah. Well, they certainly can't make it themselves. So I was looking at Schultz and I keep saying it's the music. Everyone loves the music because the guy's sense of humor was horrible. You get to the third one every time, it's like, oh, Snoopy's preparing to go fight the Red Baron. He's never going to see me coming. He's never going to know that I know this. He's never going to. And then the third one is his doghouse is all shot up and said, I guess he saw me coming. that's the fucking joke. It's always the same. Fucking hated it. I was kind of half hoping that the plane would just hit the airport and we'd all go in flames. You know what I mean? Just to take the Schultz.
You'd be a martyr.
Does anyone like, I mean, everyone loves the Peanuts, but it's the music. I'm telling you, it's the music.
It's the music and the nostalgia.
Well, it's the Vince Guaraldi trio. That's like a jazz trio that's really, really good.
Yeah. And
it has nothing to do with the cartoons other than scoring the special or whatever.
I know, but we love that. It's the Rocky theme for cartoons, and we love it. Like, if you watch the movie Rocky, it's pretty slow these days. Not bad, but it's just, you don't go, oh, this is the best film of the year, kind of. It's not that kind of. But then that music kicks in. Can almost hear it now.
Now, do you hate, I understand you hate the strips, but do you hate the specials as well? Because Race for Your Life, Charlie Brown had some moments.
I you know, I watch him now, and it's like, it's kind of, oh, you know, everyone else gets candy, and he gets a rock for, you know, and it's like we get it. He's a super depressed, bald kid. And, you know, the stuff's like,
it hits home with some of us.
You
really connects.
You just wait for the in-between music is all good, too. All the jazz is good. And I find myself watching it for that. Yeah, this stuff, you know, just all the connective tissue of the whole thing is good. But the jokes aren't any good. But yeah, but the strip is horrible. Yeah, I watched the stuff as a kid and was fine with it. But the strips are just an abortion. I found myself reading those things like five times, dragging my finger, going, what? Where's the joke? There's no joke at the end.
Everyone else on the vacation is like, Adam, we're just trying to enjoy ourselves.
No! I need a joke.
How long were you there for?
Oh, man. We flew in on Friday. It was really kind of nice. We flew in on Friday afternoon, and we flew out Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning.
Where'd you stay? You said cottages. Where'd you stay?
Oh, the hell. I could find the name. And Matt will find the name of the place.
The place was called Meadowood.
Oh. Meadowood. Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. So funny, because you turn on the TV and it's like world-class tennis and golf course and all that stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to do shit. That all looks like a calorie burner to me. I'm hanging by the pool and cracking a beer and relaxing.
Speaking of which, did you find, I assume you did wine tasting and all that stuff? You had wineries and did the wine tasting?
No, we didn't do the whole wine thing. We just we ate out. We just had you know, drank beers and enjoyed everyone's family, basically.
Yeah, but still. Mm-hmm. Do you notice that when you do wine tasting or you drink maybe a lot of wine during the day, nothing's better after that than a cold beer?
No.
A beer just like cuts all the wine you've been drinking. It's
not going to argue with that theory.
It's a wonderful transition.
Yeah, I had a nice time. We played with the kids. And
Silverado
it's just,
Trail. Look at that.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. And, you know, everyone's real nice and everything was real good. And except for one other thing. Went to the restaurant last night. Now, you guys have heard this, but it's now officially on. You know, Napa is sort of the tip of the spear of we're going to do our own thing with food.
Oh, yes.
And none of it's good. It's just, it's like we're going to be bizarre and different. And, well, we're in a pretty traditional looking place, but it's right in the middle
French
of Napa.
Laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I,
have
and
I, garden across the street.
I go, oh, yeah. No, my son ordered a, my daughter ordered a hamburger and I said, she wanted a tomato. I said, can we get a tomato? You know, slice? And he said, no, man, maybe about 3 weeks.
Oh, they're not in season.
And we grow our own, and there's none out there. And it's like, that's precious, but I want a fucking tomato.
Yeah.
Like, you do understand how this works. I don't stand out in the yard over patches of soil and hope stuff springs up. Mm-hmm. But the fucking woman goes to the market, grabs the shit, gives them the money, and then comes home with the shit. And I don't go, hey, where'd this tomato come from? Is this ours, or do we pay for it? Like,
it's a funny rich man, poor man thing. If you went to a diner and were like, can I get tomatoes out of this? Like, we don't have any tomatoes. They're not ready yet. You'd be pissed. But if you go to some place in Napa that's like a super high-end fancy place, like, they're not in season. Oh, well, great. Well, don't serve me that. Don't serve me a tomato that's not quite ready.
Plus, it's one of these things where everyone grows tomatoes. There's just a middleman called a fucking farmer that he comes in between us, but let's not make, what is this fantasy about because it's 50 yards behind this building versus 50 miles down the road, whether it's grown with 50 other plants or 500,000 other plants. Like, what's the big deal?
No, it's rich people jacking off.
Yes. Would you know where this tomato came from? Like, I feel like you can go to the Whole Foods or the Gelson's or the Trader Joe's and get a really kick-ass tomato these
days.
That's
not locally sourced enough. That's not, be within the 100 yards.
I know. But meanwhile, locally sourced, I don't have a fucking tomato for my burger. Like, I want a tomato. It's just a burger now. And I don't, I mean, all right. So that's that. So, We're looking through the menu and it's, you know, it's got all the hoity-toity and I just go with what I normally go with at those kind of places. Just give me the steak, you know, just give me the beef, you know, because it's hard to screw that one up or I'm going to like it no matter what. But then Lynette says, did you see? They got ossobuco.
Oh.
And I said, I didn't see. I just saw the beef. I was just going to go with the beef. Oh, no, they got ossobuco. I said, all right. I always look for it when I go to the restaurant. I can never find out here in L.A., the Italian food is completely destroyed. Like, you're just going to have to go to Chicago or somewhere in the Midwest to get Italian food that doesn't have fucking pine nuts on it anymore. It's a disaster. It's a fucking disaster. And it's really the disaster that was Napa has made its way down to L.A., and now we're all fucked. The point is this. He goes, ossobuco. And I go, oh, great. And then Cousin Sal pipes up. Oh, I'll have some awesome. That's great. Yeah.
What happened?
It came exactly as you wanted it?
Not ossobuco. Oh. Not ossobuco. White sauce, which I didn't even know. And, you know, dry meat on top. The whole ossobuco is like the red sauce. It's falling apart. And it's not ossobuco. That's the whole thing. And all I want is the person who works there to go, I see you've ordered ossobuco. Yes. I hope you're not expecting ossobuco because you will not be getting that. First of all, I didn't know you could make ossobuco not do it in red sauce.
Yeah, it's traditionally what you expect.
It's not even, it's just what it is.
Yes.
It's what it is. And as I went on this tirade on the way to the airport, it's why we have names for things. Like, if you just want to broaden it out, it's why you give names.
It's the point of language
to things.
Yeah.
Yes. So you could look and go, oh, that's what I would like. And, we both got something that was not what we wanted to order because it's called something else. And all I want is the waitress, when the clearly out-of-towners are in for the first time, do the, that's not, I mean, you don't have to say it sucks. Just go, we prepare it in a non-traditional, and I'll just start hearing with a white sauce and a pine-infused whatever, and I'll go, okay, I'll give me the steak. Instead, we got... Yeah. I've just said it in food. It never fucking ends. It's a fucking dish. It's got a name. That's why we do it. That's why we name it that way. That's why you put it on your menu. Why do we do this? Why?
Corolla's excited.
Was Ossobuco broken? That's my real question. Was it broken? Was it broken? Was iced tea broken? Was any of the shit broken?
No, it's fairly standard.
And if you don't want to do that, just give it its own new name.
Right. Make
also it, Blanco.
call it something other than what you're calling it because you're confusing the people that are expecting something other than what they're getting. There should be some. Look, there's a lot of regulations in these restaurants.
Where's the FDA?
I'm just saying, there's some guy coming back with a thermometer and he's going to measure your mayonnaise and he's going to see what the temperature and he's going to check
grade.
For it. He's getting letter grade and stuff. I just want to go through the list. You're calling this Ossobuco. I need to see what it is. That is not Ossobuco. That is exactly right.
Should have got the steak.
Anyway, they did their own Ossobuco, and it was not better. It was not even a lateral move. People nice, restaurant nice, everything nice. But once again, I'm this way, by the way, with the iced tea, where I can't order iced tea without a long line of questions about what kind of flavoring, and you're just saying it's the standard stuff, but are we talking about iced tea? Are we talking about passion fruit? Like, what? I'm going to have to do this with the menu now. There's no longer can I say breakfast burrito and expect a breakfast burrito anymore. We've passed the door's shut and locked behind us.
I made a crack about French Laundry, but that's not actually where you were, right?
No. No, I don't think it was. Anyway, Jimmy, great. Everyone was great. Dickie, well, you guys, you got a pretty good handle on Dickie, but quietly just one of the nicest guys in the world.
Seems like a good dude.
A good dude. Mm-hmm. And Daniel is one of these guys that we should all have this guy. You know, it's kind of
Daniel Kellison, producer of The Man Show.
Yeah, it's like a life coach.
Okay.
But he's one of these guys that's just like, oh, no, when you buy electronics, you use the American Express card because they have they double the warranty and they blah, blah, blah. And every part of his life is about trying to make his life better. But then he passes it on to you with all the tips and all the stuff and all the everything. And I realize, yeah, we're all kind of going through life not doing a bunch of simple things that we could easily do and not aware of a bunch of stuff. He's the guy who gets into the first class lounge even when he has a coach ticket because he knows to blah, blah, and the blah, blah. Just those guys that person has sort of life wired. I mean, Brian, you're a little bit that way.
I aspire to be like that, where I sort of have just the tips and the tricks that you should know or that no one tells you, but they're not hard to get. You just have to know. We used to do a great segment on the radio show called Do Yourself a Favor. It was these kinds of things. We should bring that back.
Yeah. All right. Remind me.
The point is, it was all this kind of stuff. It was, oh, if you purchase access to the lounge ahead of time, it's half the price. It's like those kinds of things.
Yeah. And then some is just super basic, like if you're going to show up here and you're eating something and you want to take it home with you and you're going to put it in the fridge during the podcast, throw your car keys on top of it so you can't leave, because you will definitely leave it with a full belly and a full heart after the podcast. All right. I think I came up with a nifty invention when we were out eating and the guy was explaining to me that they don't have tomatoes because where do you get the water? You just stand outside and open your mouth, put your tongue out, or is that piped in from somewhere? Like, what are we talking about here?
No rain again today.
Where does it stop? Where does it stop? So We got the we got a real yummy big beet salad. I mean, there's big chunks of slabs of beet, and you know, I'm going nuts eating these beets. And then I said, although the waiter overheard me, but I said to Tam, I said, you know, when you order the beet salad or the beet dish, they should give you a little clip-on bracelet, like one of those little plastic laminate bracelets that gets you backstage at the car show or whatever it is. Just snap one on your wrist so that when you take a dump that night, you don't have a fucking heart attack. Because what happens is I eat 3 pounds of beets at, you know, 2 p.m, and then go back and have a couple of tall ones. And then that night, I'm sitting on the toilet with a little buzz, and I go, oh, my God, my innards are coming out of me. But if I had just my little beet bracelet...
You'd remember.
Hey, dummy, you had beets.
I don't think it would have to say that much. I think just the bright purple bracelet would be enough to just be a nice little... But it probably, you know, could have like a big Duke and a picture of someone being like upset, you know, a figurine, and then would put like a cross to it or something.
So that's better than, hey, dummy, you had beets. You're like a dog.
I'd like to really lay it out.
Okay.
Like I said, the trunk in the car has that lanyard thing that you yank on the ripcord to pop the trunk if you get trapped in. It doesn't just have a T-handle. It doesn't just show a person. It doesn't just show a trunk popped open. It shows the person fleeing. People need to be told.
Right. Going to a safe house, calling 911.
Emotions are going to be high when you see the bowl full of beets. So
I'm just saying the waiter should just, you know, snap that thing on your wrist. He loved it, by the way. The waiter who overheard me say
your idea.
Yeah. And then we had to really get into it. Like, cause he's, you know, he gave me the, you know, cause sometimes when I eat beets and I'm going, now I'm picturing you in your fecal matter, but all right. Yeah. They show the person not only escaping the trunk, but fleeing.
Springing from the trunk.
Do you think there's a point where the guy's fleeing and he gets about halfway into fleeing and then doesn't know what direction to go, not sure what to do? He runs back to the trunk and he flips the T-handle over like, where? What now? Is there a phone? Is the guy yelling for help? Is there a picture of his mother? Like,
he turns it around and says, oh, get back inside.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I gotta go back in the trunk. Like, where does the T-handle of life end? Like, where? All right, now he's fleeing, but what if he hits oncoming traffic? Like, isn't this dangerous? Where does he? How's he know? He's going to get dehydrated. How's he know to stop? To show him fleeing. That's what I'm saying about the bracelets, Brian. Yeah. It can't just be.
I'm on board with
the beats thing. It has to be the dookie and the person crying and then the cross and then the thing and yeah, you know, and keep spinning it around.
Whole narrative.
Yeah, and also it's kind of fun for the rest of the community. Like, I voted, I gave blood. You know, I mean, oh, it had beets today. It's been on for like a week. I just too lazy. You know, doesn't come off in the shower. Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah, beet bracelet.
All right. Let's see. Richard Marx is coming in here in a couple of few. Where did I see? Ryan Seacrest was singing with him. Right? Was that what I saw?
He was just on Kiss. Christy told me.
Yeah, I saw
local
him.
Station out here.
I saw him. Idol, I think. Seacrest singing with him. Well, anyway. All right. So we like my bracelet idea. There's one part. I think I've started to sort of put my finger on what I hate so much about the airport and the TSA and Charles Schulz. I realize, you know, for me, I hate waste. I just hate, I hate waste. And people think in terms of like, you know, throwing away food and seeing cops sitting in their car with it running for 2 hours, I hate those, but I time is the most important thing. I mean, if there's anything you're going to want to get some back of, At the end of the ride, it's going to be time. It's the time. And
because there's maybe an infinite amount of water, certainly more than we can all use in our lifetimes, but our lifetime is a finite amount of time.
Very finite. And as I was standing in the TSA line, leaving a Napa today, I never really done any traveling with the kids. Lynette does that, but I just travel with Mike August, who's... Do you have any cans or bottles, you know, your toiletry bag? Like, it's got to come out, but no one's using the Ziploc bags, but they're showing the Ziploc bags. So I just took the thing out of the thing, but someone just said, just don't ever take it out when they just say no, because they never seem to do anything. But the lady who wasn't all that nice was like doing this thing with my kids where she was like, oh, okay, hold on, step forward. You can step through the metal detector now. And then my like daughter did it. And then my son like followed, and she went like, no, excuse me, go back. No, stand on that side. Stand there. You're here. Okay, this is your boarding, and you go. And it was like this thing of like, we're just wasting time. There's nothing going on here but time wasting. We're standing in Napa. There's nobody here that's going to do anything. Certainly not these freshly minted little human beings. Everyone knows it. She knows it. I know it. There's nothing we can do about it. We're all just fucking doing the dance of the tards for nobody. That makes me depressed. It always depressed me. I don't know why. Just it's like, here we stand doing nothing. And then it gets elevated a little. Like, hold on. Go back. Step back. Step back and wait there. And it's like, what? What? What are we doing?
The part about that would upset me is not the time wasting, but it's the when people don't realize they're being a cliche. It's like if you're writing a story or a screenplay or whatever, and you put the TSA who used her power to boss people around because she, you know, was insecure or whatever, like you'd be like, it's kind of a cliche, but that's the person you ran into. It's bossing kids around.
She wasn't,
limited power.
She wasn't mean or anything.
No, but she was just exercising her power.
It was like no humanity, no, obviously you're not, what you're dealing with here, a couple of 8-year-olds are trying to figure out a system that doesn't make sense to them because their brains haven't been filled with all the fucking nonsense our brains have been filled with. And their brains can't, mommy and daddy and Uncle Jimmy bought a ticket. We're just going to get on an airplane. And what's the big hassle here? I got a stuffed animal in this knapsack. Why is it going through security? Like, why is it going through a radar? Do you have to x-ray Petey, the panda? Why does Petey need to be x-rayed? Like, and it's true. Why? We didn't do anything. We're not going to do anything. All right. Is it hot in here? Or is it just me? LifeLock, baby. Yeah, give me a little air. Oh, man. You got to have LifeLock these days. Identity thieves, man. They're out there. Allison.
Well, this is pretty chilling. So most of us are guilty of telling the world personal information over social media, like our date of birth or when and where we're traveling, by posting detailed vacation photos. But this makes it really easy for the bad guys to, because this type of information enables ID theft. Mm-hmm. Criminals commonly look to social media for details such as our dates of birth or address, and this type of information is commonly found there and can be used to open fraudulent accounts. It makes you think twice about the stuff you put out there.
You need LifeLock. That's it. LifeLock Ultimate, everyone. Sooner or later, they're coming for you. It's just a matter of time. Let's be smart. It's just the cost of doing business in 2014. And then once they screw up your credit, by the way, have fun unringing that bell. Once your credit gets... I got my credit whacked out just for nothing, and it was like everywhere I went after that, it was just like that. It just sits there. Just follows you around. LifeLock Ultimate. Let's not be a statistic, people. Let's take care of business. Dawson.
You don't need to change your life. You just need to help protect yourself with LifeLock Ultimate. Visit LifeLock.com and enter promo code Adam to save 10% on your LifeLock Ultimate membership. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com to get our special 10% discount. Network does not cover all transactions.
All right. Got a couple of phone calls. Richard Marks going to be coming in. Brian, little Baldywood for you,
yeah.
Huh?
Want to do that?
Yeah.
Hooray for Baldywood. He will tell you if a movie's good. Brian will review the flicks that he's seen upon the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Baldywood.
Oh, one more thing. I tell you, I was looking at everyone as we're leaving today. And now the kids, everyone's got the kids now, and the kids getting along great, and everyone's having fun, and the kids are enjoying one another, and Natalia's holding Dickie's little baby up, and, you know, and the whole thing. And we're walking out to the plane, and the guy was sort of working the door, went, hey, like, you know, when Jimmy was walking by, and then when I walked by, he went like, hey, oh, and then he stopped, and he said, what are you guys doing out here, like a show or something? And I said, no. We're just enjoying each other.
Nice.
And I thought, I like that. Because most, you know, I don't think Martin and Lewis could say that.
Probably, no, they definitely could not.
Not
those
now.
They hated each other. Not now, especially.
Not now. But most folks that team up at some point figure out a way to hate each other at some point, especially entertainment, especially comedy. And I was just really proud to tell the guy, no, we're hanging out, having a good time. He's paying for everything. Yeah. All right. Baldywood.
Yeah. 22 Jump Street. It's in theaters now.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller. They did, of course, the original, the remake, 21 Jump Street, a couple years ago. They also did the Lego Movie. They directed that, and they wrote it for earlier this year. Have you guys seen the Lego Movie yet?
No, I'm gonna. I
It was fantastic.
I know, but you got to understand that I almost live in a Lego castle.
You feel like?
So I feel... It's going to be like a Vietnam vet here in a chopper, you know? I'm just going to freak if I see that movie because it's Legos everywhere all the time. But yes, I hear that's great.
It is excellent. This one has, of course, Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum from the original Ice Cube, Nick Offerman, all back from the original cast. Peter Stormare, you would know him from the
great calves.
Yeah, great. He does?
He has great calves.
Oh. Yeah, he plays a creepy guy in many
movies.
Oh,
no, no, wait. I'm thinking I'm thinking the other...
Peter Stormare is in the wood chipper scene from Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy stuffing into the wood chipper. He's the creepy guy in a lot of movies.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the guy with the good calves from the River Wild one.
Oh, shit. Davis Raytheon.
Yeah, different guy, almost the same last name or something. But anyway.
He's in this. He's great. And there's also two people in this who are fantastic, who I'd never heard of before. Wyatt Russell. He's the son of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
Mm-hmm.
He's fantastic. And there's someone named Jillian Bell, who's a former SNL writer. She's a TV actress. People may recognize her from TV. I didn't know who she was. She's great. I thought there's a great cast. If you've seen the trailer, you got the whole thing. It's 21 Jump Street. They went back to high school. In this movie, they go back to college. It's very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the 21 Jump Street remake, or I got it, but I wasn't on board. I didn't like it as much as everyone else. Did you guys see it?
I haven't seen it yet. It's 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
This is 21 Jump Street I'm talking about.
Now. 22.
Well, I think
21.
That's pretty close. 85.
Oh,
or
well, we
it was.
Called it the remake. It screwed me up. Yeah. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
Talking about
I don't,
a sequel to a remake.
It's weird. It's weird that they make a move. The 21 Jump Street was like eight people. Of all different ethnicities.
Oh, the TV show.
Yeah, the TV show. And then they go, we're going to make that into a movie. But, like, why are you calling it that? This is not that. Yeah. Why would you just make a movie?
I don't know. I thought it was a little too wink-wink, a little...
All right.
I just didn't get it. And everyone else loved it. So I was like, well, clearly I missed the boat. With this one, I was able to relax. I was able to enjoy it and kick back. And I think it was just, I realized that I was off the mark the first time for whatever reason. Everyone else liked it, and I didn't. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let it go and enjoy.
Takes a big man to admit when he's wrong about 21 Jump Street, the movie.
I hope to be that big man.
For you as a critic.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think it's growing.
I buried my grandfather before he was able to utter those words, and I think it still exists in sort of attention between us.
Robbed of that closure.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, sometimes you have to hear like a few songs from a band or a few jokes from a comedian to really get on board. Like, I'm sure the first time Stephen Wright or Mitch Hedberg or someone got on stage, people took a minute to be like, what's going on here?
Yes.
But then once you get it.
That's how this is.
That's kind of how this was, because the first movie was very tongue-in-cheek and very silly and very self-referential. And I was kind of like, is this too clever? It's not for me. This one was almost the same, but it worked because it was already that style. I knew what was going in, and I liked it. Some really good laughs. Ice Cube had maybe the funniest scene in the movie, and I don't know if you could ever say that about him in his career before.
Well,
that.
He's going to be. You've not seen the Are We There Yet trilogy?
I have not.
He's going to be in here, I think, on Wednesday.
Yes.
So you guys can look forward to that.
But he was great.
He was great. Movies. So what
he
do
was
we get?
Movie is funny. It's as good as a sequel to 21 Jump Street could have been. It's a little too much plot. It was a little silly, but it was funny. Some laugh out loud moments. Christy was in hysterics, so if that's any indication, maybe it's a hit. But I loved it for what it was. I give it about a B plus. I'm on the fence.
Between B plus and A minus.
I laughed a lot. It was kind of a silly. It was a ditty, as you would say.
Let's say this though: if you laughed a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I always hate it when, I'd read some review or something in my movie and they go, I laughed a lot, but I give it 3 stars. You know, and it's like, well, if you laughed a lot,
that's a good point.
That's a good if you're. It's hard to get a laugh in a movie theater these days. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
really laughed. Yeah. Yeah. How many more laughs did it have than A Million Ways to Die in the West?
About a million.
Oh, okay.
No, it was it's a very funny movie. A-.
All right.
I'm feeling charitable, A-. You're welcome, 22 Jump Street.
All right, box.com, everyone. You go to Costco, Sam's Club. It's frustrating, man. Long lines. Now it's hot. That blacktop, man. It's hot out there, and you got to park a million miles away. You got to get one of those Camelbacks so you don't, you know, you got to hydrate.
Yeah. So if you set up camp for overnight.
What if you get locked in the trunk?
You better hope you have one of those.
Perish very quickly, especially in a dark or black sedan. There and out in that sun. No, box.com. They got you covered now. They have all the items that the big places have, but you do it from your phone, your app. It's an app. I mean, come straight to your door, and shipping's free for hundreds of items. You spend more than $60, but again, why wouldn't buy a roll of toilet paper? No, it's the savings. It's the bulk. It's awesome, man. Enter the promo code Adam at checkout, and you get 15% off your first order. Save time, save gas, save membership fees. Boxed. Boxed.com. BOXED.com. And remember, you let them know Adam sent you. Check out, enter that promo code, and they'll give you 15% off. All right, Richard Marks is here. We've got a couple of phone calls.
They're all decent. You can start at the top.
All right. Take a phone call, and we'll bring Richard Marks in. Hey, Tony, 28, North Hollywood.
Hey, how's it going, Adam?
Good.
Good. Hey, so I'm going on this annual, like, all-guys lake house trip coming up here in August.
Yeah.
And we're basically just going to be, you know, shit-faced on the party barge on the lake.
Sure.
And I was wondering if you had any good prank ideas, maybe something you learned from Jimmy back in the day.
Party barge would be a good name for your honker. You know what I mean?
Hey, on board. All aboard.
Get on that, better get on that party barge before it leaves port. let's see. What lake you going to?
It's a little lake. It's in Illinois. It's in a little town called Antioch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think we have one of those out here. Well, we have an Antioch. I think we have an Antioch out here. Let's see. What would Jimmy do in terms of boats and I mean, have
it
some
would involve the ass.
It has something to do with it had have to do with the bathroom somehow. Maybe maybe that was me. Maybe it would be maybe do the cellophane over the toilet. Someone's give me some good toilet
pranks.
Yeah, who gave me a good? Somebody gave me a good toilet prank, but I can't remember what the hell it was. Generally farting a lot.
Mm-hmm. Close space.
Well, that'll be done for sure.
Yeah, and what Jimmy would do is he would eat like raw clams and broccoli or something the night before, so he'd be prepared. You know, screw your floor and fauna up, and then just go gas away. So,
will there be fishing, Tony?
I'm not much of a fisherman, but my buddy from back home will be fishing for sure.
So there'll be fish on the boat.
That's true.
Well, that opens up a whole world of possibilities.
Yeah,
fish in the toilet.
Yeah, there's fun to be had, but work. You know, don't stray too far from the ass. Let's not forget what got us here, people.
Fundamentals.
That's right. Yeah, stick to the fundamentals. All right. It's like when a team's been running all year and then they get to the Super Bowl and they got to air it out.
Yeah.
Not the
time to get away from what got you there.
You dance with who brung you.
Brian, what pranks involving fish and toilets are you imagining?
Fish in toilets?
Yeah.
Pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah.
A classic.
Listen, when you lift up a toilet bowl and you see anything in there, especially anything aside from what's supposed to be in there, it's terrifying.
I've heard of a prank involving a potato in there and that always cracks me up.
Hey, John.
Yeah, Adam.
27, Fresno. What's going on?
How's it going? Hi, Bob, Brian, Allison.
Hello.
Who?
Adam, you're a genius, by the way.
Thank you, my friend.
So, right, now that you've been a father for a while.
Yes, yes.
So, now that you've been a father for a while, and you get along with and are close to your son, have you ever figured out why your dad wasn't like that? I listened to the Classic Loveline episode with him on it, and it blew my mind.
Oh, really? Classic Loveline episode. I don't, you know, first things first, I was just thinking about this because I was with all the parents and their kids, and their kids are, you know, on vacation, and they're running after them, and it's like, it's kids talk, and like, you know, Lynette's a constant, like, hey, are they, you know, they need breakfast, you know, it's like, I'm almost like, they got breakfast bars, you brought a bag of breakfast bars, I'm gonna have a, no, Sonny needs, and I thought, I've talked more about my kids in their 0 to 8 than my parents, I believe, talked about me and my sister combined to this day. And then I realized that's what everyone does now. And as you talk to other people that are sort of my contemporaries, they're like, yeah, we would just leave the house in the morning and then come back at night and dad would be on the sofa and that'd be about that. And then get up the next day and go again. Like, and there was no dads coming to things that took place in the middle of the day, in the middle of school day and work day, because dad was at work and all that. But also, it's just a general kind of laissez-faire, like, rub some dirt on it. Like, they'll work it out. Like, the parents, when I was a kid, it's like, and it wasn't just me. It was everybody I knew. It was like, your parents were going to birth you, and then they were going to sort of hang around a little bit, make sure that you didn't get too fucked up.
Supervised from afar.
Yeah, and then you just moved out when you're 18 and a half, and that'd be about that. But this part where everyone's best friend and all, this is all new. I think it's relatively new, this insane, like, on the way back from the vacation, Lynette is laying out the itinerary for the kids who start whatever camp. You know, Sonny's going to blah, 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 and Natalia's doing the, and it's just one, it's summer. It's like summer vacation. You know, you think we would just be told, look, there's a lawn, there's a hose, go fucking sick. Mm-hmm. Go take the hose and spray it on your sister. Do whatever you want. Go on your underpants. Like, who gives a shit? Come back in when you get hungry. A lot of stuff where it's like, Sonny's not eating. He needs to eat. It's like, he'll eat. There's a ton of food everywhere. No one ever said, I never got any of that. Like, you should be eating. Hydrate. Drink some water. Take some water. Was there like, take water? You leave. And then when you get thirsty, you go find a hose or a drinking fountain or something. You drink and then you come home. But that would be, I could leave my house covered in wrapped in tinfoil with a bicycle with two flat tires and go, I'm going to go ride to Canoga Park and come back in the doggiest days of summer. And no one would go, where's your water? Take some water, drink some water, like hydrate. They'd just go, all right, see ya. Or why are you telling me? I think would be the conversation I would
have.
Did
I ask?
Yeah, that would be it. We drank when we were thirsty. We ate when we were hungry. We've figured it out. It is this new level of intensity is insane. I was I had this conversation with Jimmy over the weekend where I was like, first off, these kids are just being flooded with information. All the kids were just at the table playing around with their Game Boys and shit, whatever they got. And mostly the parents were kind of like, look, we're on vacation. We don't want to have to, you know, juggle for you. You guys sit and play and we're going to have a beer and relax. And, you know, it keeps them occupied. But I said, are we going to have any more John Poppers in the future? Because John Popper plays the harp like nobody else has ever played it before him. And that's the product of a fat kid who isn't getting his dick sucked, who doesn't have a flat screen TV with a whole bunch of video games loaded up on it. And
he says, I know what to do. Harmonica.
Do you think someone's like, put this in your mouth instead?
Yes, I will sit in my basement in Wisconsin and work this fucking thing 5 hours a day. Like, no way. My son would breathe in and breathe out of it once or twice. Then he'd have to rehydrate. Then he'd do a thing where he put a straw into it so he could hydrate while he was learning the harmonica. But he'd blow and win once, he'd throw it, set it down. Then he'd go break off a piece of the Lego castle we're living in and make a smaller castle, ironically, next inside the castle we're living in. And then he'd just go run around. Like, there's too much. There's way, way too much going on for anyone to get good. Jimmy said, oh no, we're just going to have little chips put in us that, like, you want to learn a language, why do the repetition? Mm-hmm. You know, he said he was working on his clarinet. And it's like he was, you know, remembering the fingerings on the thing and stuff. It's like, we're not going to need to do that. We're just going to download the shit.
Like the Matrix, which you like have
the
not
Matrix.
Seen.
Yes, which I need to.
But I have, actually. This is a rarity.
Oh, maybe Jimmy had to. I thought it was his idea. Wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. Wrong phone. Hey, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your dad's lazy?
No, he's like a prison guard and works like a lot, but it was just more like he didn't have a relationship, you know?
Yeah, no.
Whenever
I do these kind of things, I always say to people, like, anyone go on vacations with their parents? And, like, Dickie's like, we drove to Indiana. Like, what happened? My dad had a brother who lived in Indiana, so we drove there once. Like, that's everyone's vacation memory of their childhood. They drove to Indiana one time to see some guy they didn't like that much while their dad smoked in the car. And then they turned around and drove back. That's their memory of their...
It's idyllic.
Airplanes and rental cars and cottages and you know, babysitters that you hire so you can go out there and didn't exist. Did you guys go on vacations?
I went on one plane ride between the age of 0 and 16 to see family friends in Michigan who they knew for the longest time. And the first plane ride I took after that, I paid for myself. So,
right.
No, basically. Vacations, yes, but not like, you know, but, taking trips.
I mean, I understood that people did it back then, but it's like these kids have more under their belt than us collectively had, and especially the parents. It was always get the car with no air and drive somewhere and come back. And then argue in the car. That seemed to be everyone's road trip.
Again, idyllic.
Yes. All right. Should we get Richard Marks?
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we do that? Take a quick break. Be right back with Richard Marks next.
Allison Rosen.
Hey, everyone. It's me, Allison, from Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. I am sitting here with this week's guest, Sarah Colonna. Sarah, why should they listen this week?
Well, I think I reveal a lot about myself, about my haircut that I had when I was in my 20s that was bad. The ma'am from Webster.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
You have curly hair, but you got a perm.
Yes.
I wanted one, even though someone showed me a woman with, like, poodle hair and said, this is what you'll have. And I said, I don't care. I want it anyway.
Yeah, but then you had a divine intervention.
That's right.
So people can find out about that.
I'll have to listen to find out what took me out of perm's harm's way. We also talked about you being on the drill team.
Yes, and I would like for people to tell us what drill team was in their high school, because I'm very confused sometimes by it, and I just don't want to say that I was on the wrong thing anymore. So we need people to listen and then determine what that was at their school.
Yeah, and we talked about how you met your sports boyfriend.
Yes,
I don't refer to him as your sports boyfriend.
No, I do. Actually, that's how I introduce him.
Tell them who he is.
My boyfriend, John Ryan, from the Seattle Seahawks, and we met on Twitter. So there's a story behind that. You guys, it can happen to you too. Twitter brings everyone together.
That's right. And we talked about how you met Chelsea Handler and your friendship with her, and working with her on the show, and all that.
Yes. So, and one of your past guests, Jen Kirkman, how I witnessed her breakdown that she spoke about on your show.
That's right. It involves Klonopin. And alcohol. All right. So you guys make sure to listen. Subscribe to Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend on iTunes, or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
Help Adam Carolla save podcasting for all of us. Donate anything you can at fundanything.com/patent troll.
Baby, don't you look so sad? You know we had something that should only ever make you smile. It's not like it was something we were looking for. We were sliding doors. It's what it is. It doesn't need to be defined.
Richard Marks, everybody. Beautiful Goodbye is the name of the album. I guess we'll just call it that these days. Available July 8th. And you can pre-order it now on Amazon. You go to AdamCarolla.com, you bookmark it, you click through, and you get Richard's new album, and you show a little love to us. Good to see you, Richard.
You too, man.
I'm just reading your bio here. 30 million records sold worldwide. But I'm reading the part about you and Lionel Richie, which I did not know about.
Mm-hmm.
You did some backup singing for him and Madonna and Whitney Houston, Kenny Rogers. Jesus. So let's tell us the story. How'd you get started? Where were you?
I was living in Chicago, born and raised in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
My senior year of high school, I had written, I don't know, four songs, five songs, something like that. And I had been able to make a decent demo of these songs. And so I just would send tapes out. They were cassette tapes.
Right.
The early 80s, right?
Sure.
I used to write my phone number, my name and phone number on the back of the cassette in pen.
Right.
And one of these cassette tapes, through a guy to another guy to another guy to another guy, played it for Lionel Richie, or gave it to Lionel Richie, who mm-hmm. was just about to leave the Commodores and start his solo career. So at that point, he's, along with Michael Jackson, arguably the biggest guy in music at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. So he hears my tape. The fact that he even listens to it is insane.
Well, somebody must have listened to it and said, you need to listen to this, I'm assuming.
I guess so, yeah. But he listened to it, and then he called me on the phone. And this is way, way, way before punked.
Right.
But I thought I was being fucking punked. Right?
Well, when somebody, you're, what, 18, 19?
I was 18,
or,
17.
Somebody says, this is Lionel Richie,
yeah.
Especially
you know,
back then.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Asshole.
Right.
But I was such a fan of his that I knew his speaking voice from seeing him in interviews and stuff. So I, within mm-hmm. 30 seconds, I was like, holy shit, this is really him.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy talked to me for half an hour, 45 minutes, went through the songs with me. He was like, dude, you know, I really love your voice. I really, you know, if these are your first four songs, I should play you my first four songs. He was really complimentary. And
he seems like a really nice guy.
He really is.
I've met him.
He's a really good guy.
So
he encourages me to move to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So I scrap my plans to apply to Northwestern.
Right.
And I go, I'm going to L.A. And I graduated from high school a couple months later, got, you know, scraped enough money to come out to L.A. for a little while. And he was making his first solo record. And he invited me by the studio to meet him. And on that day, he put me in the studio to sing background vocals on something. And I never left. I was there every day for the next 4 months while he was making that record.
Where was he doing it? Do you remember?
At what's now called Henson. It used to be called A&M Studios, right by the old Chaplin stage.
Oh, right? Yeah, everyone,
La Brea.
Everyone went there.
Yeah.
I used to paint the cyclorama that was up on
right.
stage that they used to film Soul Train there. And they'd film all the rock and roll videos there, too.
Yeah.
And then I'd
paint. I shot a bunch of videos there.
You did?
Yeah.
I was probably the guy who was waiting for you to finish so I could paint the thing that was behind
Sorry.
So,
yeah, that started it. And then he recommended me to other singers like Kenny Rogers, and then I started getting all this work as a background singer.
Is that sounds like a pretty good gig, because you get to go out on the road, you get to stand up there being cool, you get to sing, but you don't have to quite
pressure.
You don't have to sweat off 20 pounds up there busting your ass.
There's
on
no pressure.
Do you kind of like that?
Well, I didn't really do too much of it on the road. I did it almost all in the studio. I was a studio session singer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was even better because I didn't have to leave home.
Right. And then when they do hit the road, they get someone
usually it's
probably they
can
afford.
They can afford or that's playing guitar or keyboards or, you know, doing multiple jobs.
Or that's of age and can
right.
drink.
Yeah, exactly.
So from that point, then you go do your first album. And it says here, by the way, there's some like staggering statistics, but rejected by how many labels before you got?
Everyone.
Everyone.
However many there were, all of them.
He is the first, and I don't know if it's off of this album, but it says first solo artist to have his, first seven singles on Billboard's top five. Did I screw that up? Does that make sense?
I don't know.
And they all reject, so who did pick you up then?
This little division of EMI. It was called Manhattan Records. This guy, Bruce Lundvall, who was pretty legendary in the music business as an executive, he'd signed a lot of big people. He heard the same songs that everybody else rejected. And I got, you know, it was pretty consistent. I got stuff like No Hits, You Don't Look Right, It's Not This, It's Not That, all that stuff, you know. And then this guy Lundvall, who was a real champion of musicians and artists, he heard the same songs and went, I love these songs. I love your voice. Let's make a record.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really as simple as it seemed like it was just as simple as that. And it really was. After 4 years of being consistently rejected, this guy walked into my life and went, let's go make a record. And it was the first single off the first album just exploded.
What do you think? you know, I was thinking about sending out the tapes and putting your name and your number. I was actually having a laugh this weekend with Mr. Kimmel, because he said the reason I was his boxing trainer for some morning show stunt a million years ago, but the whole reason he brought me into comedy essentially is I showed him a video cassette of me doing like a home improvement show on a public access station, and he was like, this guy's good. And
was he already Jimmy Kimmel?
No.
Well, he was Jimmy Kimmel, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. He was Jimmy the sports guy on K-Rock.
But he still had some juice.
Well, he had enough juice, right, to get me to that one station.
Yeah,
yeah, he had enough of that to get me in, but not that much, not even there. Like, they wouldn't listen to him with both ears, you know. Right. It's a lot of, you know, everyone thinks everyone's, like somehow Jimmy Kimmel was Jimmy Kimmel his whole life. He wasn't Jimmy Kimmel. He's getting fired from radio gigs, you know.
And he was a made guy.
Yes, now he's made. But my phone number at the end of the cassette, my phone number was on my home phone. You know, just like, hey, if you want, give me a call at my apartment. Yeah, and it was broadcast too. It's insane, right? And but if you were Richard Marks, 17-year-old now, how would you go about it?
Oh my God! Well, it's just, you know, I don't have to tell you. It's just there's no resemblance to the industry that it was when I started out, or before, or even 10, 15 years after that, to what it looks like now. And even like we were talking about, you know, for a couple of years, I supported myself. I didn't have to have a regular job because I had enough work as a background singer, and I would play keyboards or guitar on different people's records. I would produce people's demos for $50, and I would sing background vocals on people's records. So there were enough musical jobs that I could do. So I didn't have to work at a restaurant or any other thing that I didn't really want to do.
Right.
Those days are way over. And I have three sons who are all really talented musicians. And, you know, they're kind of fucked. Because,
no, I know, they really are. Out on the sofa. He knows
this isn't news to him. We talk about it all the time.
Good morning, son.
Yeah, morning.
You're fucked.
Wait.
Is all the – yeah, I mean, it's weird because – it's so simple to do now, but now that it's so simple, everyone can do it, and now there's millions of people. It's out there.
When people say it's so great because you can really get your music out there, and that's what I hear all the time, and I go, yeah, and then what?
You can't get it heard. You can't get it out there.
What they're saying is, yeah, it's easy to
upload,
physically make it now, but it's so the space. I know it's like a podcast.
I have two theories, which I'll try to make brief, that I think are important. One is we are now sort of conditioned to be ADD. When you and I were kids and buying the new whatever bands we were into, the new Who album came out. I bought that record. I bought the album. I took it home. I read the lyrics. I put headphones on.
Right.
And nothing was going to distract me from listening to that album from front to back. It was eventful.
Every song, too, you would listen to, you just never dig that deep into anything anymore.
Well, you can't, because even I still buy music all the time, and when I sit down to listen to somebody's album, sometimes they're even friends of mine, I'll be listening on my computer like we all do, or on my iPod, or on my phone, and I'm like, yeah, this is a really good song. Wait, did I answer that email?
Right.
I should go email. I should. Hey, what's going on with Huffington Post right now? Whatever it is.
No, this is
constant ADD.
You're just so right. We're so conditioned to be that way now.
When people say, like, why go to the movie theater? You have a big screen TV at home. You can be comfortable. I go, you'll never watch the movie the same way. You'll hit. I don't know what the over under on pause is on the movie that you watch at home, but it's got to be 3.5 pauses every hour that movie is for, you know, there's a ratio, but I swear to God, the average American's got to pause it, go to the kitchen, or something interrupts you. The phone rings or the dog starts barking or something.
I sit down to watch a movie with a stack of magazines and my iPad.
That's right.
Well, you got to cram it all in.
It's insane.
But the other thing, I don't know if you know about this, but you know, everybody loves to use illegal downloading as the reason that the music industry is so fucked up and blah blah blah. And I've been hearing that for, you know, as long as Napster, you know, has been around. When Napster came around, here's the thing: about a year and a half ago, an independent company did a sampling of, I think it was 30,000 illegal downloads.
Mm-hmm.
Of that 30,000 illegal downloaded files, what percentage do you think was music?
Oh.
Guess. Just take a guess.
Well, by the... Well, now, it's either going to be super high or super low, but the just the from your direction, I'll go low and go 10, too. Yeah.
2%.
It was in the rest of stuff
porn
was...
Porn was number one.
Oh.
And video games was number two. So to me, people aren't even illegally downloading this shit anymore. They don't care. They're not interested in music the way they were before, and it's because there's just too much competition for their attention.
Yes, and there was something, what's a fun thing to do. You have the albums from your past if you're the right age, and then there's all the songs on that album where it's never got played on the radio.
Right.
Some of the stuff, if you're like me and you got some old John Hyde or Graham Parker, never got played in the first place, but the stuff that you never even paid attention to that closely, to go back and get the whole album and just listen to the whole thing, because you want to be transported. The hits don't transport you. It's the ones that are in between the hits that make you really put you back into that place.
Almost all of us who are singer-songwriters who write all of our own material, if you ask, I don't know a single exception. We all prefer the songs that weren't the hits. You know, for every album I've ever made, somebody says, what are your two or three favorite songs off that album? They're pretty much almost always anything but the hits.
Well, would you have said that before anything was a hit, or did the point of repetition ruin it for you?
Yeah, no. Because I love, I'm grateful for the hits. I mean, I still love playing them. And it's not that I don't like them. It's just that I'm going to always point to songs that were album tracks ended up album tracks that are going to be my favorite songs of all of them.
Who were, and I'm looking down at the Lionel Richies and the Madonnas and the Whitney Houstons and the Kenny Rogerses. I did that on purpose, people.
That's cool.
Who did you work with where you just went, wow, this guy or this gal's got the goods? Like, you know, that thing where you see a celebrity in person and you go, oh, she doesn't look as good. And then you see one in person, you go, oh, my God, she's stunning. Like, I see why.
Yeah.
But sometimes they all could be an 8 on TV. And then some you see you're disappointed, and some you go, wow, I get it now. Like, I understand. Like, if it was almost just athleticism, the musicality, who would be for
from
you
from a musicality standpoint, I think it would be Barbara Streisand.
Did you work with her?
Yeah, I worked with her several times. And, you know, two things come into play. One, you know, the first time you work with her, you go in thinking this is probably going to be, I'm going to get fired because she's so difficult. You hear all the stories about her, which is complete bullshit.
Really?
She's a pro is what she is. And if you enter her world, you're being hired to enter her world, right?
Oh, I like that.
So if you show up and you're not prepared,
right,
it's not going to go over well with her. If that was a man in charge,
yep,
he would be a perfectionist and a total pro. But she ends up being a bitch because she's a powerful woman.
Powerful.
So it's totally uncool. It's totally unfair. And I've worked with her, you know, several times, and I've gotten to know her pretty well. And she's the most fair, kind, cool, great hang. She just can't tolerate incompetence.
I like it.
Sounds like someone we know.
And on Jimmy top Campbell? Of that, she will get up in front of an 80-piece orchestra live. She doesn't. You know, she makes records like everybody else does, but she always loves to at least approach her albums singing live. So she will book the orchestra, you know, 80 to 100 people, and she sings her vocals live, top to bottom, old school. When she records. You've got to be a badass to do that. You can't be anything less than a badass to do that.
I'm with you on the, you're paying people, you expect them to show up ready to go, and then... And yes, if women get labeled that, guys can be called prickly or douchey or something too. But this notion of just asking people to do what you ask them to paying them for makes you a dickhead all of a sudden. Like,
right. You're so demanding.
It's so weird. Like, I was on a movie set and I just like, told this like 27-year-old guy, like, hey, go get me this and go get that. And he just said, like, watch your tone, man. Well, and I was like in a hurry, yeah. You know, like we're shooting 14 hours a day. And I was like, go get this, go get that. And he's like, what's the magic word? And it's like, what?
Yeah.
What? When did this kick in? And then.
Well, it's the entitlement generation.
If
sure.
I said the magic word is you're fired, dickhead, then I'd be the asswipe.
What a bitch.
You know who else really surprised me that was amazing was Madonna.
Really?
Because when I got that, it was like a year or two before I got a record deal, and I was doing a lot of session work as a singer. Mm-hmm. And I got this call to come and sing on this album she did called True Blue. And I did it just because it was a paying gig, you know?
Right.
And I was driving to the studio, and all I remember thinking was, God, I hope she's not there. God, I hope she's not there. Because I'd heard all these things about her. You know?
Sure.
So I get there, and she's there. And the first thing I notice is that she's stunning. She's absolutely so gorgeous. She's not wearing any makeup. She's wearing sweats, and her hair's pulled back, and she's gorgeous. Like, I'm going, holy shit, this woman's
She married
gorgeous.
To Sean Penn at this
Jesus.
Point?
Yeah, I think she's with Sean around this time. So then she turns out to be a total pro. I'm thinking she's going to just sort of be sitting around while the producer actually does the work. He was inconsequential. She produced the session. She knew exactly what she wanted. She was fun to work with. She was a total pro. I felt madly in love with her right then and there.
Why is it? It's weird, but you do then realize that this stuff doesn't happen by mistake. We like to make everything like, oh, she fell into being Madonna, or she fell into the success, or he fell into this thing.
Into a career like that.
No, you just realize she must burn more calories. She's somewhere right now doing Pilates and on like a conference call.
No, she's somewhere being professionally Madonna. That's what she's doing.
Yes. All right. The album, once again, Beautiful Goodbye, available as well.
On
pre-order,
iTunes, too.
Pre-order now on Amazon and iTunes as well. I think we'll do a little news. Rich, you want to hang
sure.
in and crack wise?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
The news with Alison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Alison. Alison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cut. It's Allison, Allison.
Ah, A&E, baby. Emmys. This thing's coming up. I got the deadline. Hey, if you're listening and you vote, I got a powerful audience out there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of
influencers, tastemakers.
A lot of tastemakers out there. Yeah, screwing up my
Muggles
house of Boko.
Muggles and magnates.
Yeah.
And how, about you, of industry.
How about you consider season two, Bates Motel, outstanding drama series. And then I got the lead actor, Freddie Highmore. They sent me, like I said, the box set. I've been watching the crap out of this bad boy. And then I'd put it on pause and I'd go get something to eat. And then I'd come back and unpause it. And boom, Vera Farmiga, also a lead actress in a drama series. And, you know, let's not waste our vote. Let's get these guys an Emmy. A&E, Bates Motel. I genuinely appreciate your consideration this year, our good friends over at A&E. All right. Now, where were we?
All right. Well, first, I have to ask a Madonna question. Mm. Do you feel like she's become more eccentric over the years, perhaps since you worked with her? Or are because there's so many stories where she sounds not quite professional. Do you feel like that's just people misconstruing how she is because she's female, or
probably? I mean, I don't hang out with her, so I don't know. I know that there's plenty of stories about me being unprofessional or whatever that are complete bullshit. So I always assume.
Barbara Streisand was talking shit about you last week on the Chevron show.
No, but she was accurate. Actually, she's always accurate. She always speaks the truth.
Yeah. All right. Where were we?
So Casey Kasem died.
Oh.
He was 82. His daughter, Carrie Kasem, announced the news on her Facebook page. She said, "Early this Father's Day morning, our dad, Casey Kasem, passed away surrounded by family and friends. Even though we know he is in a better place and no longer suffering, we're heartbroken. Thank you for all of your love, support, and prayers. The world will miss Casey Kasem, an incredible talent and humanitarian. We will miss our dad."
I think she worked at KLSX or something when I was there.
She did. She was hanging around. I mean, she had like a weekend show or something, or she was around. She was like a personality.
She was nice. Hmm?
Did you know him?
No. I just knew she had a cute daughter who did radio or something. Could never figure out what's going on the weekends at the radio station. But every once in a while, I didn't know him. But again, it's that's that era. You know, it's like his. I don't know what. 20 million people listen to his countdown show every week.
He was like John Carson. He was as, you know, like everybody from our age knew Casey Kasem like we knew Johnny Carson.
Well, remember that, I mean, I always hear as a comedian, you know, it's that, oh, then Carson gave me the shot, and then he told me to sit next to him, and he called me over to the sofa, and the next day, my world.
Your life changed.
Yeah, everything was different.
Everything was different. And now, I mean, I did the Tonight Show 4 months ago, 6 months ago, or whatever it was. No one said a word. Not a word. Nobody. And like, I didn't get an email. Like, I didn't even get a tweet. Like, going, hey, nice job on Leno. Like, it's just a different world. Yeah, there's totally. No phone call. There's no jobs. There's no nothing. Just the Tonight Show. It's just a different, everyone is just spread out. The pie just keeps getting thinner and more specific. Everyone's into what they're into. In a weird way, you were just talking about porn. It's like that. There used to just be one kind of porn. Porn, people fucking
right.
While we film it. Now it's all whatever
subcategorized.
You got your in the feet. Oh, we'll take care of you, but good.
It's right. Like you do a porn, no one calls you the next day saying, great job.
Nothing.
Your world doesn't change.
I got a few emails.
Okay.
Oh.
I'll stand corrected.
All right. So Casey's gone. He's going to be missed.
Yeah. He had been hospitalized in Washington State since June 1st, and it was sepsis, I believe, that was ultimately what.
It's always sepsis.
It always gets you.
If you're
always
in the hospital, you're screwed. You're gonna catch something in there.
Yeah, from like an ulcerated bed sore or something.
But 82 is a good run, though. I take 82.
This thing of like, you know, we got to keep everyone hooked up and going and pumped full of oxygen and blood and stuff, and it's like, just tap out. Let's just go.
He had a DNR, and there was the whole court case between his kids and his wife. His kids didn't want to keep feeding him, and initially the court said that we're going to keep them going, and then they changed their mind.
There's a whole, you know, you've arrived, and I, God willing, I get to the place where my adult kids do battle with my trophy wife, you know, over like what to do with me, because it's one of those first world problems. You know, usually it's where who's going to pay for the burial? Not me. Mm-hmm. You're no, but this
Once
idea.
Not it.
Yeah. Well, if you've got serious dough, they're going to want you to die.
Yeah, but I like the idea of, you know, trophy wife will be, she'll be in her mid-40s by then.
Kids will be mid-40s.
You know, kids, they'll be, like, ironically, like a week older than the twins.
Right, right.
But she'll be put together, wearing a lot of fur and stuff, and they'll be doing battle over what to do with me.
Sniping, I mean, in the media.
Again, that just, you know, from my mouth to God's ears. You know, it's just one of those, you know, you've arrived
Good
kind
luck.
Of moments.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thank
we can
you.
All we can all dream.
We can dream.
Mm-hmm. And he was the voice of Shaggy in Scooby-Doo. I forget that sometimes.
Yeah. There was always just there was a handful of guys who just worked back then. And that was it. The VO world, probably not what it was today. Mm. And same with, like I said, everything. Everyone does them. Everything can do it. Like, people just they just figured out, like, oh, we can get this guy to do that voice, and why are we paying this guy millions
you
of
do
dollars?
Owe it to yourself, if you haven't, to search out the recording of him losing his shit on.
I love that.
It is great.
Oh,
it's great.
I don't know that one.
Oh,
no.
Never, oh,
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's great. It's
brilliant.
A
fitting tribute to the man.
It's brilliant.
But, see, whenever you listen, it's just coming back to what we're talking about with, you know, Babs and Madonna and stuff like that. I guarantee I got 1,000 hours of me doing that exact same fucking thing.
On the podcast?
And anything at all the time, because they fucking drive you nuts. When I did MTV, when I did Love Line on MTV, they'd hold up a cue card. We'd always tell them, I don't want to know who's calling. Just hold up their name and we'll just go Bob, line one, and the person's voice will come on. They would always spell the person's name the way the person told them to spell it. Even if it was Nancy, they'd end it with three E's. And then I would sit there looking at the cue card and I'd go, is Nancy on line one?
Nancy
and she'd hop on the line and go, it's Nancy. And I would look like a retarded person who didn't know how to read the name Nancy. So I would say to them, look, whatever they say in terms of their spelling, you fucking spell Nancy just the way it's spelled. Now, on the Chiron, under the whatever, they can spell how they want to spell it. But when I'm calling it out, put
Makes
it
sense.
On the cue card that's just how you would spell Nancy. Pick the most popular, the one you remember from grade school. And they would always write it out, and then they'd always go, that's how she spells it. And I'd go, it's not on camera. It's not on camera. Just do it this way. And they go, that's how she did it. That's how she spelled it. And I, you could hear the fucking screaming coming from my dressing room, right? Because then they would do it to me, and then I'd be stewing the entire rest of fun because I'd be on the air answering Nancy's problem. But I'd really be going, oh, fuck, I'm going to yell at these people. They're driving me nuts. But yeah, then this is. Do you have Casey, or maybe we can find find Casey?
Let's see. I do have
Brian found him. Yeah.
Okay. He writes, "Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of. Let's come start again from coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please." See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week.
That's genius.
Yeah.
This is a last goddamn time. I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
He will be missed. No, I know he's coming off of Walking on Sunshine, talking about the dead dog, and I know he said that 15 times, at least.
He's got a very, very valid point.
Yeah. Totally.
I know.
And he's just trying to be a pro.
And I'll get, but see, the first time he broached it, it was, hey, in the future, here's what we should do.
Can you hook me up? Can you please hook me up?
And this was the 55th time he said it.
Exactly.
And the guy who recorded it may have somehow been, I mean, I'm sure he was had an asshole at Casey, so he just let it roll.
Yeah.
There's some good, who's it, Buddy Guy? Who's, I don't know, who was the drummer?
Buddy Rich.
Buddy Rich.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good ones.
Screaming at everyone on the bus.
It's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There should just be an album of freakouts.
There is.
Oh.
Yeah.
I should get that
it's
album.
It's all accessible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll click through the easy. Adam Carolla banner.
Now we
got to
hear. Oh, we got it? All right, I'll
give me a second.
Yeah, go ahead. All right. I think this is him screaming at his band on a tour bus.
That's correct.
Yeah. Now we can look forward to probably more and more of this stuff because this was from the 70s or maybe the 80s, but no one's phone would record shit because no one had a phone.
There'd be a lot more of it already by now, right?
I think what it is initially there's more of it because people haven't gotten used to. I mean, like, I was driving to the studio tonight, picking my nose and thinking to myself, oh, if I pass that car and they are filming me with their phone, my nose, it's going to end up on TMZ. Mm-hmm. Like, who would ever have that thought? Who would ever even think that would be a thought to have?
Somebody's always
15
watching.
Years ago. That's what I'm saying. So I think Taylor Swift is not going to freak out on her band because she knows. Now, we're going to get a whole new, by the way, it's a whole new boring human race where everyone's just fucking.
There's no mystery.
Yeah, there's no more freaking out because someone's going to catch it. Do you have it?
It's 2 minutes long and it's a series of recordings. We'll play a little bit.
All right.
Yeah, it's long.
You've got to fucking be kidding me. How dare you call yourselves professional? Assholes are playing like fucking children out there. You guys are fucking, where the fuck are you? You won't be heard? Everybody can hear your fucking fans out there. You don't need a mic for that. You're taking up too much fucking time. Blowing what? Shit! You stand out here all fucking night trying to blow your fucking
fans
out when it comes time to play.
What
do you play? Clams?
Somebody
ought to talk over. Because if I hear one fucking clam from anybody, you bat it. One clam and this whole fucking band is through tonight. Try me.
So old-timey sounding.
I love when he punctuates it with try me.
Try me.
Yeah. Now he'd just be sued, right, by everyone who was on the bus.
Verbal
they'd say, like,
abuse.
Oh, they're scared to pick up the phone. His buddy Rich may be on the other end of it.
He's like, created a hostile work environment.
Yes, that's right. That's right. It's back when, like, Richard, you definitely know when you're on stage and somebody's fucking up while you're on stage, you're just thinking, I can't wait to get off of the stage to fucking yell at that person because it you're fucking my shit up in front of this large group of people. And I'm sure that's where Buddy's head was at. Anyway, should we eulogize anyone else in a loving way? Or is that good enough?
Anyone else want the treatment?
Try him. Try Brian. All right. Where were we?
So Tesla Motors CEO Elon Musk announced Thursday, by the way, we should have gotten to this last week, but did not have a chance, that the company is taking the unusual step of making their patents open source, which means that they're suspending enforcement of their patents to encourage development of electric cars.
Yay, Elon.
Tesla holds about 200 patents, and none are being held back.
Love that. First off, I love a human being who, like, you know, it's done with his octagon fighters ring or whatever, and they go, who do you want to fight next? And they go, whoever the best is. I just want the best. Like, I talked to Mike Tyson once, and I said, you said Razor Ruddock hit like a fucking mule kicked, and yet you got right back in the ring with him like 4 months later. Why do you want to get in the ring with the dangerous guy? Like, the guy where you can really feel his power. He's like, I don't know. It sounded like that's what I wanted to do. And he knocked him out the second time. But either way, I love a guy who just goes, I'm going to make so much fucking money and make such a superior product. Take all my secrets. This is exactly how I'll pull the curtain away. Here's how the magic is done, but you can't do it like me. Or, you know, I have $5 billion. I don't need $7.5
billion. Right.
Yeah, he said that he's making the move out of frustration that more automakers haven't developed long-range electric cars. Most current electric vehicles have ranges per charge of about 100 miles, which is less than half the longest-range Tesla Model S.
I don't even – by the way, it ain't even 100. I mean, like the Leaf and the Volt – well, the Volt's not a plug-in electric. But, I mean, these cars are like 34 miles and stuff like that. Like, it's not anywhere near
– the grocery store cars.
Yeah, his shit – you can get like stage one, stage two, and stage three. By the time you get to stage three, you're at like 300 miles, which is pretty insane. And then he's going to do these fast charging places. He's also going to do the one where you just swap your battery for a freshly minted charged battery. Like, these are the kind of guys you just – I always say – I'm tired of the process of like, hey, California's going to elect a governor. I don't want the guys who want to be governor. I want us to tap guys on the shoulder and go, Elon, it's like a war. This is a war that's being fought at home. We need you in that brain.
Drafted.
Get over here. You're running this state. Go ahead and go sick for 4 years. Let's see what you can do.
It should be like the draft.
Yeah. It really should be like – it's almost like by virtue of these guys – signing up to do the job or to get in line to do the job, run the state, run the country, whatever it is, I already don't want them. You've already made the first mistake.
Anybody who wants to be president isn't somebody I'm going to vote for.
Right. I just Elon Musk. I'm sure he'd never do it because he's so busy creating and so busy whatever, but I'd love to just tap that guy on the shoulder and go, look at this country as like one big factory that's not running all that efficiently. Right. Let's get it. I don't know what we're at. You know, if we're at 17% now, let's see if we can get into the 50s before you leave after 4 years and just fucking do it. Let's go. Let's do it. And then the good news is every decision he makes is not going to be questioned because nobody's going to go, well, of course there's this constituency that he has to keep happy because he got blah, 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 blah. I know I screwed that word up. But the point is this. He's just going to go, whatever makes the most sense for whoever, that's what I'm doing.
Constituency?
Yes.
That's a word.
I know. I think I stepped on a little. But the point is this.
Good to me.
The point is, let him just run everything. So take a look at the school system. Take a look at TSA. This, whatever it is, and then there'll be no groups where you go, well, you know, the teacher's got him elected, and he wants their vote the next time around. So
he
needs
because
to,
he has so much money, he wouldn't be susceptible to graft,
no,
or just you think that he's such an efficient guy?
Well, if Elon Musk was the president of the United States and he made a decision, you wouldn't say, oh, that's
he's
because of the trial, the lawyers, attorneys, whatever. It wouldn't be any. It'd just be he's making it. You just go, well, he's making it like a scientist.
Yeah.
would do it. Like, he'd go with that because he thinks that's the best, or he knows that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, why aren't there more science nerds in office?
They're none. They're like
they're making way too much money to do that job.
They're all like used car salesmen, and then, but what they're selling is themselves, and you buy into it. But then it's like, I just want that. I just want the smart guys. All right, where were we?
In health news, whooping cough is officially an epidemic in California. The number of cases, so there's a resurgence this year. The actual medical term for the disease is pertussis. Mm-hmm. More than 3,400 new cases have been reported. And L.A. has experienced around 350 new cases, with Long Beach being hit especially hard.
It's hard to take something seriously that's called whooping cough.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's named that for the sound that kids make when they're experiencing the violent coughing attacks associated with it. And part of the problem is that infants who get it might be too young to be vaccinated. So they're recommending that pregnant women get vaccinated because that can protect the kids.
Ah. By the way, the Volt, I'm being told by Gary, is a plug-in, but it has an engine on it that charges or runs the car as well. That's why it's not a pure dedicated plug-in. But Is this all the crazies that
Jenny
are
McCarthy?
Yes, that are against vaccinations, or is this just a bunch of?
They haven't said whether it's because people aren't getting vaccinated, although they are recommending that people go out and get vaccinated. But also, and I didn't realize this, the vaccination, like the ones that we all had when we were kids, if you got vaccinated against it, which you probably did, does not offer lifetime immunity.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a booster that we were supposed to get after age 11.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
For some things, you're supposed to get them every 10 years, like TB. You're supposed to get a shot every 10 years.
Yeah,
I assume whooping cough probably falls in there too.
This is the Tdap vaccine.
It's like tetanus.
I just had tetanus, that. Diphtheria, and pertussis. Mm-hmm. You just had that.
My brother had his first kid, and because you have the newborns, they refer people around them to be vaccinated for stuff or have their shots up to date. We went to the clinic. And
What an ass kisser!
Did you guys all
my brother?
You know what I would have done? I would have taken a ballpoint pen, just stuck myself in the arm. And then, yeah, there you go. Give me Junior. Let me rub some stink on him. Yeah, I love the coolest thing about Paul Newman's racing helmet, which I have somewhere, is the back of the helmet, just written in that old-timey weird tape stuff, is his date of birth and his blood type, and then it just says tet, and it just has the date where he got his last tetanus shot. And I see all these pictures of Newman in his racing stuff. You see these little black stickers just on the back of the guy's helmet. And I don't know why. I was thinking it's just something that's personal about it. It's
like when they fumigate or when they do termites in your house. Yeah. You got to leave a tag saying this was last sprayed.
Your brother called and said to stop talking. He'll tell you when it's okay to start talking again.
Sorry.
All right. Did you guys all have chicken pox? Because I never had that. But
I had them.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. When I was really little.
I think I had, measles or chicken pox. I think I had all that stuff. I always wanted mono. Because everyone is always, first of all, it's called
you've been kissing?
The kissing disease.
It's called, it was called the kissing disease, so that's fine. Unless there's a blowjob disease that I'm unaware of, I'll settle on kissing.
I think there probably are.
There are a few.
Oh, there are, yeah.
And there are vaccinations for that, too.
But they're not
called
the blowjob.
Bald spot and braces.
You know.
Well, there's that. The blowjob disease.
That's the vaccination. I also was always one of those, you couldn't go to school for an extended period of time, but you weren't really fucked up.
Mm.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you're just kind of tired. So that just meant a lot of sofa time with the TV set. It sounded good to me, but I never was able to contract it. Fucking hard as I tried. All right, let's bring it home, baby girl.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunt.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
Ah, petflow.com. You want to get your pet some food and you're tired of the cases. I don't know. There's nothing heavier than a case of canned pet food. And I think it's extra heavy because you're not going to eat it. Mm-hmm. I can schlep my own food and be cool with it because I know there's a payday at the end of the day with these, whatever it is.
It's a box of ice cream.
I'll hand truck that baby right on in, but dragging around the pet food, it bothers me because I don't get to eat any of it unless I'm super high. Petflow.com. You schedule your pet food. It comes to you. It's shipped for free right to your door. You can try it today. Get 20% off your pet's favorite food. Go to petflow.com/ace. By the way, they got over 200 health conscious pet brands for you to choose from. So whatever your doggy's pet, cat, llama, whatever it's eating now, they'll have it. Petflow.com just comes to your door. Erase the whole gotta make the run. Use the promo code ACE. Help support the show. Help support our friends at petflow.com. All right. Phoenix coming up this weekend. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. So lots of good guests, lots of fun. Yeah, it's going to be hot. I'm going to put everyone under a bus and scream at them like Buddy Rich before we get out there. Allison, what's your guest name?
Sarah Colonna.
Colonna.
She's a comedian.
I thought I knew it, but I didn't want to screw it up. And Allison Rosen, new best friend, Monday and Thursdays. New episodes, AllisonRosen.com. We've got iTunes as well. And you want my book signed? I'll sign the jacket. Send it on in and get the old one and just go to the website. I got a whole pile of old books there I got to get rid of. Richard Marks, Beautiful Goodbye. Available July 8th, but we can pre-order it on Amazon and iTunes yes. as well. And Catch a Contractor coming up season 2. So you can go to catchacontractor.com if you've been screwed over. And find a place that's close by. Would you please? I'm not going to goddamn Dana Point this year.
I'm in your studio. I got screwed over by a contractor.
That's what I'm looking for. Like, hey, the roof on your studio is leaking and I got fucked. And your family has to live on
ooh,
it.
Ooh, but you're the contractor.
Oh, shit.
You built this place.
I got to work this one out. But either way, I'm not going to Dana Point. Where were we? Richard, what city do you live in?
I live here.
Oh, good. Well, then come back anytime you like. We will thank you for listening. Appreciate it. And spread the good word. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Richard Marks, Allison Rosen, and Bull Bryan saying mahalo. Take all my secrets. This is exactly how I'll pull the curtain away. Here's how the magic is done, but you can't do it like me.
For call-in times and phone topics, follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Like Ace on Facebook and follow him on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Get the new book, President Me, audiobook also available. Click the Amazon link at AdamCarolla.com. And for live podcasts, Mangria events, stand-up, and more, visit AdamCarolla.com.
This is Corolla Digital.